My dearly beloved in Christ, I would like this morning on Father's Day to speak about the role of the father. And this is very important, especially in our modern times, because due to the feminist movement, the role of fatherhood has been diminished, has been even ridiculed, to the point where oftentimes fathers are absent. Maybe not physically, but insofar as their proper role, absent from their families. And of course, today there are many out-of-wedlock births and single parents and children growing up without a father. And that is indeed very sad. The father has a very important role. His role is one of leadership, to lead the family to God, to be the one who makes the decisions and is an anchor in the family of authority, of firmness, of decisiveness, and again, of guidance. Now, certainly, the role of the father is not one of unbridled authority or of a type of authority that is unflinching. The father also must have a heart. He must have compassion and understanding for his children. But as I said today, there are fathers who perhaps are hesitant to even exercise their paternal authority because the role of a father has been so denigrated in our modern society. And we look to Saint Joseph as a perfect model of fatherhood. Saint Joseph, the chaste Saint Joseph, who was the foster father of Jesus Christ. Saint Joseph labored in his carpenter shop. He worked diligently every day to provide for our Blessed Mother and for our Divine Lord. As the head of the Holy Family, his role was that of providing the breadwinner for the family. Saint Joseph also had this strong sense of protection, safeguarding. He was the guardian of our Blessed Mother and our Lord, their protector. And when it came to fleeing into Egypt, there was Saint Joseph, out of his abundance of his concern and an obedience, of course, to the message given to him by the angel that he was to take the child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Saint Joseph left in the middle of the night. And what must have been his anxiety for the safety of Jesus and Mary as he led them on that long and dangerous journey to Egypt. So we see there in Saint Joseph these qualities that a father must strive to acquire, to emulate in Saint Joseph, of deep concern for the welfare of those under his charge, protection, again, the breadwinner of the family, providing for the family, and seeing to their safety. The father must also correct his children, something that Saint Joseph, of course, did not have to do. Fathers need to teach their children right from wrong, and again, to correct when they are wrong. And above all, he must give a good example. Now, one of the fathers that you can read about who must have been an ideal father was the father of the little flower, Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus. If you've ever read her autobiography, she loved her father in an incredible way. The devotion, the tender sentiments she had for her father. Part of it being that her mother died when she was very young, and her oldest sister became the mother for her. But she had such a deep love and affection for her father, and respect. So that is a good example, but also an example from a saint who had that reverence and love and respect for her father. But there may be some who are thinking, well, I wish I had that. I had a father who maybe was overbearing or was not understanding, and so on and so forth. And yes, every father is imperfect. But that doesn't mean that fathers should shrink from fulfilling their role. Just because they're very conscious of their own shortcomings, because nobody is perfect here. And our Lord, talking about fathers, said, he was talking about how we must pray to our Heavenly Father because he loves us and he will provide the things he needs. And he said, if you, being evil, know how to provide good things for your children, how much more will not your Father in heaven provide good things to those who ask him? You who are evil. And yes, we are all infected with original sin and we are very imperfect. But fathers must nevertheless, despite their imperfections, do all they can to strive to be good fathers and to be there, to be present for their family, above all, leading their wife and children to God. Now, our Lord also gives us an example of love for his Heavenly Father. And you can read through the Gospels and you find our Lord mentioning his Father very often. In fact, so much so that finally at the Last Supper, Philip, one of the 12 apostles, said, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. They heard about the Father so often. Show us the Father. And our Lord answered Philip and he said, Philip, he who sees me sees the Father. Because, of course, our Lord is the second person of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That feast we celebrate today, three persons in one God. And there is what is called by theologians, difficult for us to understand, but we know it from Scripture and from the teaching of the church, there is what is called the procession of persons in the Trinity. And what that means is that the Father begets the Son, and the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. So the Father is not begotten, nor does he proceed. The Son is begotten of the Father, and the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. Now, this doctrine of the procession of persons does not imply any inferiority of one person to another. All three persons are consubstantial, co-equal, co-eternal. All three persons always were and always will be. All three are equal, equally God. All three are almighty, and so forth. This doctrine, which is explained at length in what is called the Athanasian Creed about the three persons of the Holy Trinity. But nevertheless, our Lord often spoke of his Father, and we see that love. He would say things like, I always do the things that my Father has commanded me. And he had such a deep love, reverence, for his Heavenly Father, a good example for us. And we should look upon God as our Heavenly Father. When the apostles asked our Lord, teach us to pray, what did he say to them? When you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, etc. And this was indeed a revelation to them, because the Jewish people in the Old Testament did not look upon God as a father. They looked upon him with dread as being the almighty infinite being, which he is. But they didn't think about or reflect upon the fact that our Lord is a loving Father. So we should think about that. When we say the Our Father, don't let it become rote where we just don't even think about what we're saying, that we're addressing our Heavenly Father, who is the best of all fathers, who loves his children and wishes not only to provide for us in this life, but wants us to be with him forever in the next. And we also see that loving goodness of our Father in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Because during the month of June, we reflect upon devotion to the Sacred Heart. And when we think of the Sacred Heart of our Lord, we think of his infinite love. The heart is shown with flames coming out of the top to show us that the vehemence of our Lord's love. And then the flames are surmounted by the cross to indicate how our Lord died for love of us. So let us honor the Sacred Heart this month, and let us especially never forget that God is our Father, and treat him as such, and invoke him and love him, he who is the best of all fathers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.